You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast, KGYM Sports Radio.
Welcome in to a sunny Tuesday edition of the Gym Class here in KGYM. As we take you through the 3 o'clock hour here in 1600 AM, 102.3 FM in Cedar Rapids, 106.3 FM in Iowa City, the KGYM radio stream, KGYM mobile app, and your smart speaker. Scott Unash, Mark Dukes, Ben on the other side of the glass, and our listener, you out there, most importantly. We love to have you interact with us, and we encourage you to do so on the text line and the phone line, 319-366-1600. That is the number for both the phone line and the text line, 319-366-1600. DuPaco Community Credit Union, they are the proud sponsor of the Gym Class program. Check them out frequently each and every day. We encourage you to do so at dupaco.com and learn how you can boost your financial well-being. Good show coming up for you. Scott Docterman from The Athletic covers the Iowa Hawkeyes at Al. And we will talk with him about Iowa spring practice, wrap that up, and also look ahead to the draft. The Iowa Hawkeye prospects, the Iowa State Cyclone prospects, you and I as well, as they're probably going to have a name called tomorrow night. Or check that, Thursday night. We've got coverage of the draft coming your way Thursday and Friday. The first and second, as well as the third rounds coming up for you Thursday and Friday night, starting at 6 o'clock, right here on all of our frequencies. NBA basketball coming up tonight, 8:30, with the pregame for the contest tonight involving top-seeded Phoenix, tied 2 games apiece with 8th-seeded New Orleans. Game 5, pivotal Game 5 from Phoenix and the Valley of the Sun coming up tonight at 8:30 for you. Also coming up tonight in the NBA, it'll be Miami trying to close out Atlanta, leading 3-1. They will be at home. And another pivotal Game 5 coming up tonight, Memphis and the Minnesota Timberwolves. We'll go at it in Memphis for Game 5 of that particular series. 319-366-1600. We're going to talk to Scott Docterman, as we mentioned. Also want to kick around a little Major League Baseball with you today on the top half of the program, as haven't done that in a while. We've kind of let it simmer a little bit the first 3 weeks of the season or so. I've really let it simmer after last weekend, Mark. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you and everyone out there. Yeah, I would imagine the Twins sweeping the White Sox and in weird ways a couple times. So, yeah. But, yeah, I look forward to talking about baseball. We didn't really hit on Miguel Cabrera yesterday, reaching a terrific milestone and over the weekend, and coincidentally the Twins playing the Tigers the next 3 games. So that'll be interesting to watch.
It will be.
And looking forward to talking to Doc.
Yeah, always looking forward to talking with Scott Docterman. On the program today and the rest of the week here for you, Mark, and your fellow Chicago Bears fans out there, we've got a terrific giveaway, as, of course, now through November. The National Czech and Slovak Museum and Library, they are hosting a George Halas exhibit. Of course, Papa Bear, the former player, coach, and owner of the Chicago Bears, co-founder of the National Football League, is a first-generation Czech-American. And you can learn all about his life and achievements by experiencing gridiron champs George Halas and the Chicago Bears by visiting the National Czech and Slovak Museum and Library. And more information available on this at kgymradio.com. The exhibit is going to run through November the 6th, but we've got tickets for you to win all this week. You don't even have to be a Bear fan to go. I mean, I will go and see, because I'm interested in seeing some of the artifacts with George Halas, but it's a very nice exhibit here in town.
Yeah, I'm going to get over there, too, before November 6th, and hopefully some people this week that really are not necessarily Bears fans, but NFL fans, the history of the NFL, and certainly the Chicago Bears. It sounds like an interesting exhibit. I'm going to get there before November. I know that.
Yeah, I'm going to get there as well. If you're a football fan, you need to get there. We got tickets, a pair of tickets each day. We got two pair today that we're going to give out. Two pair. Double your fun. And we're going to do that today before 4 o'clock. 319-366-1600 at 10 minutes past the hour of 3 o'clock. That is the text line available to you. And I mentioned that we have coming up this evening NBA basketball for you. We haven't spent a lot of time talking baseball, though, since the start of the season. We gave our predictions, and those are going just swimmingly so far. tongue-in-cheek, if you will. And a hearty tip of the cap to Miguel Cabrera, as you mentioned, as he recently picked up his 3,000th hit. I don't think that automatically makes him a Hall of Famer. I think he was beforehand, to be honest with you, as far as being a Hall of Famer. The question is, how quickly is he going to get into Cooperstown once his career is over? And this guy's still getting things done, too, for the Detroit Tigers. Still getting things done for a Tiger team that a lot of people like going into the season. They're off to a little bit of a slow start. In fact, everybody in the American League Central is off to a slow start right now, including the White Sox, who have lost 7 in a row. No thanks to Liam Hendricks. It's now, yeah. But anyway, it is still early. But we will ask the eternal question of people out there. When is it not too early to panic as far as your, maybe panic is not the right word, concerned, Mark, about your favorite baseball team? I still have not gotten to the concerned stage because the White Sox right now are dealing with so many injuries. They don't even have anything close to their lineup that they should put out there each and every day. So I'm not pressing the panic button. I'm a little concerned. Sunday made me a little bit cranky, but other than that, I'm going to ride it out a little bit.
You know, in my mind, it's like 50, 60 games. 16, 17 games is just a small sample size. We've got teams doing very well. The teams in New York in both leagues, actually, in Seattle, off to a really strong start. Even the Angels. But whether those things last, you know, time will tell. And I, you know, people putting out, you know, projections, maybe Byron Buxton, MVP, a top MVP candidate. Listen, he's off to a great start, played in 10 games, great stats, doing some great things. But it's so early. We don't know which game he's going to be injured in next.
Well, we hope he's not.
Well, we do.
We hope he's not.
But his history is suggest otherwise. So, yeah, I think it's really early. As far as Miguel Cabrera goes, he's a no-brainer Hall of Famer. He was before he reached 3,000 hits. And he's got more than 500 home runs. Whether he's the best pure hitter of his time, that's open for debate. But this guy, he won't be unanimous because nobody is. But 3,000 hits, 500 home runs, I think only two other guys have done that. Aaron and Mays, am I right about that?
Believe so. I'd have to double-check that just to make sure. But if you know on the text line, please let us know. 319-366-1600. I did not know Razorback Dale is a Twins fan. You and Dale should get together and, you know, watch some games. He is always concerned with the Twins, he says.
Welcome aboard. Buy that new baby a onesie. Twins onesie. Okay?
I knew Cyclone Tim was a Reds fan, and yes, Reds full fan-fledged panic.
Oh, boy.
At this time. Yeah, the Reds have not set the world on fire here in the early going. Worst record in baseball at 3-13. And I feel for you. I feel for you, Tim. No one really on fire in the American League. My pick, the Toronto Blue Jays, are 11-6, and that is the best record as far as the American League is concerned. A lot of teams right now right around 500, a couple above 500, a couple below 500. Dale said only an Arkansas onesie so far.
Okay.
But in the National League, I mean, the Dodgers are doing Dodger things. They're 8-2 in their last 10. They're 12-4 overall. They're the Giants again. Carlos Rodon has been terrific coming from the White Sox to the Giants. That's starting to worry me a little bit.
And the Giants won one more game than the Dodgers did last year, I believe.
Yeah.
105 or six games.
And yeah. The Giants are 12-5. Colorado's gotten off to a good start. The NL West is terrific. San Diego is in fourth right now at 10-7. That's early. Cardinals are off to a good start. Mets, the other team that is cruising right along. The New York Metropolitans already with a 4.5-game lead. And we're not through April. That's a pretty significant lead early on.
Now then, missing its best pitcher, too.
Yeah, and missing their best pitcher. Arguably their best pitcher.
Scherzer's pretty good.
He's pretty good. But arguably there's one that may be better out there. 59-35, I'm a Royals fan. I'm used to being depressed from them. Well, you won a world championship.
That's not a bad team.
Well, I'm sure they're going to get real good here in the next couple of days.
You got the White Sox?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
With Dallas Keuchel facing the Royals coming up this evening at home. We'll see how that plays out. But Royals, a little bit of a slow start, but not too bad. Miguel Cabrera, the seventh player in MLB history, Mark. 3,000 hits, 500 home runs.
Beg your pardon.
Seven of them. From 7854. Thank you, 7854. Yes, the Guardians are bipolar. Score 44 runs in a four-game stretch and then score like four the rest of the series. Well, that took bad defense from the White Sox to help that out. But I don't think the Guardians are a bad team. It is still weird to say Guardians. And being in Ohio over the weekend and the area I was in northwest Ohio is kind of a conglomeration of, you're actually closer to Detroit than you are Cleveland. I saw a lot of Tigers stuff.
Mm.
Well, besides the Ohio State stuff, which is everywhere. But a lot of Tigers stuff, a little less Cleveland stuff, and then just not very much Cincinnati stuff in there. But it's Detroit Tiger country and Cleveland Guardians country, and saw a lot of the former name, did not see a lot of the new name as of yet, but I'm sure that's going to change anytime.
Yeah, I'm not sure where I got that three number, but members of the 3,000 hit, 500 home run club include, of course, Hank Aaron, who's way out in front in both categories, Alex Rodriguez, Albert Pujols, still active, Mays, Rafi Palmeiro, Eddie Murray, and Cabrera.
319-366-1600. As we talk a little baseball with you before we talk to Scott Docterman about the draft and Iowa spring football. We'll do that coming up here in just a little bit. Also, those tickets to see the George Halas exhibit. Gridiron champs George Halas and the Chicago Bears at the National Czech and Slovak Museum and Library. We'll have that giveaway for you coming up before 4 o'clock today. And also, following us from 4 to 6, Todd and Alex, going to have Shinedown tickets. That will be coming up on Tuesday, September the 6th, the Planet Zero World Tour. And they're going to have chances for you all this week to win a pair of tickets before you can buy them. Tickets go on sale this Friday, but they'll have a chance for you to win between 4 o'clock and 6 o'clock with the Todd Bromel Camp Show with Alex Kuhn. That'll be coming up, as I mentioned, from 4 to 6 right here on KGYM. Suzuki's off to a good start.
Yes, he is.
As far as the Chicago Cubs are concerned. Now, I will say that with a little bit of a bullet that he's new. And a lot of these rookies are new. They haven't seen a whole lot of them. The book is going to come out on them, and they'll probably have their numbers go down a little bit, but he's a good player.
That goes both ways. These pitchers are new to him as well.
True.
So, yeah, I think that goes both ways, but he's looks like he has the makings of a wonderful player, and I can't thank our listeners enough for, you know, some of the best fact checkers out there.
They are.
Maybe because we make a few mistakes, I don't know.
Not many.
Not many. But we appreciate that. We really do.
Adam Simber already with 4 wins for the Toronto Blue Jays. Your man Dylan Bundy's got 3 wins already for the Minnesota Twins.
Twins, by and large, have basically flip-flopped what everybody predicted and didn't think they'd have much pitching. And, you know, over 162, that may bear itself out. And thought it was going to be a really solid offensive team. And with the exception of only a couple, 3 games, this team has been fairly anemic. Carlos Correa has not done much of anything yet. Miguel Sano is putrid.
How long until the Twins give up on him?
I don't know. I say it every year, though. And then he'll go on a 1-week stretch where he hit 5 or 6 home runs. And, oh, he's back. But, man, he's so frustrating to watch. Yeah. So frustrating to watch.
Almost as frustrating as 3 guys running the first base and all coming up with assorted injuries for your team. We just walk to first base.
Yeah.
Just hit it long enough. Either take a base on balls or hit it long enough that you don't have to run to first base. I am tired of this. I am tired of this. Eloy Jimenez, the latest, who with a pretty significant injury as he ran to first and hit the back of the bag. Kids, hit the front or center of the bag, please.
Well, the bases may be getting bigger. You never know. And that, I don't know. As far as Sano, he has no marketability at this point in his career. I mean, I suppose there'd be a team or two to take a chance on him, and why not, I suppose, but he has no marketability.
Now, you're not going to get a whole lot for him, right?
So the Twins, what do? Either put him in the lineup and try to hit his way out, or send him down, which they have before.
Ride it out, man. That's what you got to do, I guess. 319-366-1600, talking a little baseball with you on the program. By the way, coming up tomorrow, we'll talk more baseball and a little bit about the draft as well. From a fantasy standpoint, Chris Liss of ChrisLiss.com will be joining us coming up tomorrow, and we will talk about that. Thursday, Colbert covers the UNI Panthers for the Cedar Rapids Gazette will join us, and we will talk about the spring football season for Mark Farley and the Panthers. We will do that. By the way, you see the speaking of UNI, before we get to your scoreboard here, see the news at Duke inquiring about A.J. Green. And the South Dakota State guard, now the most sought-after player in the transfer portal. Did you see the list of teams that have contacted him in the first 24 hours?
I did. I don't think Long Island has much of a chance.
I don't think Long Island. The Blackbirds may be a little bit short on this one with some of the other schools that are involved. But this kid can fill it up. And he's got a lot of eligibility remaining. So, yeah. We'll see who gets his services. But, yeah, it's not a slam dunk for A.J. Green, I think, to Iowa State. When it's akin to football when, you know, you're a big-time recruit and all of a sudden here comes Nick Saban calling. You got to listen to Nick Saban. And even though it's not Mike Krzyzewski, you still have to listen to Duke when they inquire about your services. Am I wrong about this?
No, not at all.
Okay. So, we'll see. We'll see. No, Razorback Dale, A.J. Green should not go to Arkansas. You have enough talent as it is. And I don't know how many more scholars you got out there with all these guys coming aboard. 3:23, and before we take a break, I'm going to throw it to Mark for an Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update. It is brought to you by Emil's Hideaway on First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids. They are across from the Lindale Mall next to the Home Depot. And behind Taco John's, eat local and try their burgers and fries. They are made fresh daily. Or wet your whistle with drinks from their fully stocked bar. Bring the whole family for friendly service in their dining area. Open at 4 at emilshideaway.com.
Got a little patio out there now, too.
Not quite warm enough for it yet, but we're working our way.
They've added a patio out there at Emil's, and when the weather is conducive, I'd encourage people to check it out. On the scoreboard, United States Hockey League playoffs began last night. Not a good outcome for the Cedar Rapids Rough Riders, dropping a 6-0 decision to Muskegon. Game 2 in the best-of-3 series tonight, so the Rough Riders' season is on the line. It's dark right now in Major League Baseball. All the action under the lights. The West Division's Cedar Rapids Colonels in the Midwest League open up a six-game series at Beloit tonight. And Beloit resides in last place in the West Division. The two teams get together for an 11 o'clock game tomorrow. And finally, 6 o'clock first pitch, Iowa with a midweek game against Western Illinois and college baseball at Banks Field.
The Leathernecks are not very good.
No.
They are not very good. So, chance for Iowa to get a game right there. By the way, Beloit, first time that the Colonels will play at the brand-new ballpark in Beloit at ABC Supply Stadium up there. Beautiful new ballpark and a much better, it's, believed downtown in Beloit, and it's a big improvement from what they used to play or where they used to play up there. So first time they'll get a chance. 0835 before we get to a break here. Duke has five guys entering the draft, so maybe very likable opportunity for A.J. Green. That is true. Now, Duke's got some guys coming in, though, that are going to be one-and-dones again, more than likely. But, yeah, Bancaro is the latest to say he's going into the draft. Williams is also going into the draft as far as Duke basketball is concerned. All right, we'll take a break, come back. Scott Dochterman from The Athletic will join us. Plenty to discuss Iowa spring football. We'll wrap that up with Scott. Talk about the NFL draft, the locals who are going to get their name called, and we'll do all that when we return after this break on the Gym Class right here at KGYM.
You know, if I could create a drumroll sound right now, this is where I would insert it. Corville, you have been waiting so patiently, and it's finally here. Raising Cane's is officially open, and you'll find them at I-80 and Coral Ridge Avenue. Their crew ready to serve you up some of the best tasty, most craveable chicken finger meals. And you know why they taste so good? Well, that's because their one-of-a-kind crew works hard, has fun, and shows up for each other every single day. Raising Cane's Chicken Fingers, go check them out. One crew, one love at I-80 and Coral Ridge Avenue in Coralville.
When he's good, he's thorough good. When he's bad, he's even better. George Thorogood and the Destroyers. Good to be bad tour. 45 years of rock. May 3rd, the Paramount Theater. Tickets on sale now at creventslive.com. George Thorogood and the Destroyers, live.
Serving part-time in the Army National Guard has led to a lot of firsts for me. It paid for me to be the first person in my family to go to school. That education got me to the first day at my dream job, which I can still hold while I serve part-time. That job and the home loan benefits I got from the Army National Guard helped me buy my first house. I also know that I will be one of the first to respond if my community ever needs me.
Sponsored by the Iowa Army National Guard, aired by the Iowa Broadcasters Association and this station.
Your team wouldn't waste time interviewing 30 linemen if they wanted to draft a cornerback, right? The same is true when you're looking for your next teammate. LinkedIn Jobs taps into a network of over 770 million professionals to find you the right people. LinkedIn Jobs helps you narrow down to the most qualified candidates so you can start hiring the right people faster. Go to LinkedIn.com/sports to post your job for free. That's LinkedIn.com/sports. LinkedIn.com/sports. Terms and conditions apply.
And now it's Geico's Motorcycle Rules of the Road. Avoid biking in the rain and never touch another person's bike.
Hey guys, look at these bikes. So shiny. Whoops. I'm gonna leave a note. Oh gosh, there's more.
And the rule to saving on motorcycle insurance is, in 15 minutes, Geico could save you 15% or more.
Cutting the price of your wireless bill feels good. Really good. Actually, it feels great. You should try it out. So cut your bill by switching to Straight Talk Wireless. Now offering our $45 Silver Unlimited plan with 5 gigabytes of hotspot and nationwide 5G on America's largest, most dependable networks. The $45 Silver Unlimited plan from Straight Talk. Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise.
A month equals 30 days. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com. 5G capable device required. Actual availability, coverage, and speed may vary.
The job search can be a frustrating journey filled with long, lonely hours on the computer and countless attempts to get noticed by employers. ZipRecruiter gets it. No one wants to feel alone in their job search. That's why ZipRecruiter's AI does so much of the work for you. They save you time by sending you jobs you can apply to with one click, and they pitch your profile to employers so you stand out. Job seekers feel the love. Sign up for free at ZipRecruiter.com. Once again, that's ZipRecruiter.com.
Back with you on the Jim Class, KGYM, on this Tuesday edition of the show. Thank you for joining us. NBA basketball tonight, Game 5 between Phoenix and New Orleans. We'll have it at 8:30 for you. And thank you, Todd. Yes, Colonels played Beloit there last year at ABC Stadium. Still a whole lot better than the former.
That's a good-looking park.
It is a good-looking park. Really good-looking park. And a lot better than the former one. But Colonels and Beloit, six-game series starting off tonight in Wisconsin. 319-366-1600. That is the text line available to you. And, you know, spend the next several minutes talking football, both as far as the college level is concerned and the professional level a little bit is concerned. Scott Docterman does a great job with The Athletic, covering Iowa football, joining us here on a Tuesday edition of the show. Give him a follow on Twitter. And, of course, give him go ahead and just subscribe to The Athletic and read his good stuff out there. And Scott, spring now behind us as far as Iowa football, and other than I'll start with this. Everybody knows what the big question is. We'll get to it, but other than the quarterback position, what did you find out about Iowa football in the spring in 2022?
Oh, that's a great question, Scott. And I don't know that we learned a whole lot. I mean, especially on Saturday, there weren't a lot of players on the field. Probably about half of them were in street clothes. So as far as trying to figure out a lot of the lineups and sub packages and what have you, you just kind of threw that away. That really doesn't even matter. I think really when you go unit by unit, what I already knew was kind of reinforced, and that was that the defense is going to be very, very good as I could remember. I think as deep as I've ever seen, especially along the defensive line. Then I think, the offensive line is maybe a work in progress. They didn't perform that well on Saturday, but they don't a lot of times in the spring game. And I think as young as it is, I mean, I think I saw four sophomores in the starting lineup. I think you just have to be patient with them. And then as for the rest, outside of two positions, really, to me, I mean, I think that they look fairly solid. Defense looks very, very good. Offense looks like it's a work in progress, but I think it has some upside. But I think as we all know, quarterback and kicker to me are the two huge question marks.
Scott, I know you're really bullish on Lucas Van Ness. Why?
He has some rare abilities that we don't see very often out of that position. I mean, number one, physique-wise, I mean, he's 6'5", 275, and he carries a six-pack, and I'm not talking about Budweiser. He looks like he could go out and get in the ring and fight. He's just got that kind of a build. But more than that, he's just got a lot of get-off. He's just very, very quick. He's powerful. He's got great length. And he could do a lot of different things. I mean, last year he tied for the team lead in sacks, and he was really just a freshman rotational defensive tackle. And that's probably not his best position, I think, outside is. So I really think he's got a chance to kind of be a more powerful version of what we saw maybe with Anthony Nelson. And if he can do that, everything kind of revolves around, getting a good rush on third down for this team, because if you can get off the edge, if you can make the quarterback move and throw in the wrong direction, then, of course, we know what the secondary is capable of doing. And I think overall that this is a, defense. So once the secondary kind of figures out which pieces are where and they take off from there, it's going to be one of the better units that probably Phil Parker's had.
Yeah, I was just going to ask you, and it's spring, and everything's eternal in the spring, but just taking a look at what is coming back, and on paper, et cetera, what Iowa did last year, the defense basically leading this team, along with special teams, to Indianapolis, but this defense could be better than that defense. I mean, stacking it up, how good can this defense be in the Kirk Ferentz era? Could this be his best defense?
it could have that chance. And I think, you know, you look, and we've all been around so long that we know what the, you know, 2004, people know what you're talking about. 2009 and 10, you know, as far as defensive line goes, what it was like the last few years, even with an Epineza and Anthony Nelson and Chauncey Golston, those guys. But they've never been this deep along the defensive line. And when you look at it, there's really not a lot of drop-off if you're going to, say, guy number 8 or 9 or so, you know, there, because you look at some of their younger players, and Ethan Herkett, who's still kind of working his way back after a knee injury last year, just a huge motor and really a powerful kid on the edge. And you look at the starters and how solid they were, and 3 out of 4 return. Last year I thought was going to be a drop-off year for them up front because they just had lost so many players so many years in a row that it had to drop off. And it did a little bit, but not much. I mean, they still got to 31 sacks. They still were among the best in the country in stopping the run. And then you're going to tell me, you know, a guy like Y.A. Black, who has all the potential in the world, is going to get better. And Logan Lee, I thought by the end of the year, was playing as well as anybody inside, you know, in the Big Ten. And Deontay Craig. And then, by the way, there's a kid that blew me away, you know, in Aaron Graves. And when you look at him, you know, your first word is holy. And just imagine what the next one is. Because you just look at him and it's like, I can't believe I'm looking at a 17-year-old kid. I really can't. And so I think he will force his way to the field. So if you've got, 10 players you feel really good about, you can throw in at any time of the game up front, that's really going to serve you well. And then I haven't even talked about the linebackers, but that trio might be the best in the Big Ten. With Jack Campbell, I think he's an All-American. I think Justin Jacobs is as talented as there is. And Seth Benson, we always overlook him, but he's a really tough, tenacious kid. So I'm using the word kid. They're all adults, but you know, it's relative, I guess. But I think that front seven could be, among the best that we've seen at Iowa and just collectively, this could be one of the best defenses Iowa's had under Kirk Ferentz.
It's kind of annoying how many close games Iowa plays typically. I think 30-35% in the Kirk Ferentz era. It's been blessed with a string of good kickers who made 80% or better of their field goals collectively. Caleb Shudak, the latest. But it wasn't a good day on Saturday. The wind might have had something to do with that. Nerves might have had something to do with it. Who are the candidates? What are the prospects there? How concerned are you about that position?
I am concerned about it. I always am. And, you know, when they switch kickers, and I think this year is a year to really kind of, I wouldn't say, you know, stay up late at night walking and pacing the room, but I do think there's some... There are some concerns there because now Aaron Blom, who's a sophomore from Oskaloosa, and Drew Stevens, who's, I believe, from South Carolina, he's a true freshman. He enrolled early. They both have really big, powerful legs. That was on display. They really pound the ball. And so I don't think that, you know, their leg strength is an issue. I don't think you'd worry about them falling short on a 37-yard field goal or something like that. And it was windy the other day, but that said, it's going to be windy at Kittick or take your pick out of any stadium come November. You've got to make those. And the other day we saw a lot of inconsistencies. They missed a lot of them. And I want to say that there were 5, maybe even 6 games the last 3 years where Iowa's kicker has kicked 4 field goals in a game. And when you think back to like the Iowa State game in 2019, I mean, you know, Keith Duncan doesn't make 4 field goals in 4 different directions in 4 quarters. They lose that game, and there's a lot of other games that were, you know, those field goals were really tough to come by, and they had to make them. And you think about Caleb Shudak last year going 11 for 13 from 40 yards and beyond. So Iowa plays all these really close games, and you have a great defense. You've got the other parts of your special teams are elite, but you've just got to make sure that when you get into field goal range that you make them, because this team's going to play some close games. And you don't want it to go on the other side of the coin, which it very easily can. And you can, you know, between kicker and quarterback, to me, that's the difference between going, say, 8-4 and going to the Duke's Mayo Bowl and versus going back to Indianapolis for a second straight year.
Scott Docterman of The Athletic joining us, covering Iowa football as we talk Iowa spring football here on the Gym Class for Tuesday on KGYM. Before we leave the defense, about the secondary a little bit, just stacked back there, and that doesn't even include, you know, Xavier Wampa coming in. What he's going to do, I would imagine he's too talented to stay off the field, at least special teams. I know that's what Kirk Ferentz talked about after the scrimmage on Saturday. But not only him, but also great story back there with Quinn Schulte, who looks very solid at one of the safety spots. And then Cooper DeJohn, he's going to get in there somewhere.
Yeah, they've got some really good candidates. I would say they've probably got seven guys for five spots. And Riley Moss is, you know, you could pretty much put that in Sharpie.
Yeah.
Last year, you know, Big Ten Defensive Back of the Year, and comes back for an extra year. And I think Kayvon Merriweather is probably in that position, too. The other cornerback, I mean, Jamar Harris played really well late in the year. I think the Kentucky game was his best. But he's going to miss the first game after an arrest of it. Couple weeks ago, and Terry Roberts was hurt for most of the second half of the year, but I think Roberts and Harris will compete for the opposite cornerback spot. And then, you know, as you mentioned, Quinn Schulte, you know, Iowa, it's strange. 15 out of the 21 years that Phil Parker has been there, or last 21 years anyway, they've had a walk-on as a primary starter, and it appears that it might be 16 out of 22. I mean, Quinn Schulte has done a nice job of grabbing one of those spots, and we'll see if he can hang on to it, but as of at this point, I don't see any reason why he can't. And then, as you mentioned, Cooper DeJean is just an incredible athletic specimen. I mean, could do so many different things. And you know, anybody who followed high school sports in the state, you know, heard about it, you know, but he's going to be a guy you can't keep off the field in all kinds of facets. I mean, he could play, you know, he could play probably all the special teams. Cash right now, it seems like it's going to be between him and Sebastian Castro, who's a really big hitter, so I kind of wonder if you want to really not put him on the field since it's more of a second-level position. But still, I think they've got, you know, a lot of great talent. And as you said, you know, Xavier Wampa is, you know, this year is probably a year where maybe he's second team, maybe he gets on the field in a couple of games, defensively, and then maybe he ends up, you know, playing some special teams like kickoff and maybe, you know, punt return or something like that. And then in 2023, I could see him replacing Kayvon Merriweather as one of the safeties. And I'd be remiss if I didn't mention another true freshman, T.J. Hall. He's really caught everybody's eye at cornerback. And I could see him being a second teamer this year and then starting in 2023. He's done a really nice job, very physical for his size and his age.
Scott, not many teams in the country that won 10 games during the regular season have a quote-unquote quarterback controversy. And I'm not sure this one is. Maybe it, you know, it is in the eyes of fans. But to me, I mean, Saturday was one of 15 practices. You mentioned how many guys were on the sideline. Petras played against the ones, apparently, which may have been the twos. And right on down the line with Padilla and Labas. So as we sit here right now, where does the quarterback situation sit?
At this point right now, you look at it and Petras, if there was a game on Saturday, Petras would be the starter. And Padilla would be number two and Labus would be number three. It is still up for competition because what I saw was it wasn't that, you know, there were some contested plays on the ball that he was throwing to that it makes sense. I mean, you know, you're playing against some really good defensive backs, and he was rushed a little bit more, which, again, makes sense when you've got Lucas Van Ness and Logan Lee and some of the other, you know, guys. I mean, you're going against one of the best defenses in the country, let alone the Big Ten. So I think in some ways, yeah, you kind of put an asterisk by that. But I think what we also saw were a lot of overthrows, a lot of, you know, high balls. And those are things that we've seen the last 2 years. And those are the things that you were hoping you wouldn't see. You know, that's not to say that he wasn't going to throw incompletions because the defense was covered and the receivers too tight and they didn't have all of their receivers there. But it's the passes that you expected him to hit that he didn't. And so I think that's why there might be some more concern, why this might be continuing to an ongoing situation. And likewise, they want to see what it can be with Padilla and with Labus because, you know, any of us can sit here and argue or discuss or take a side in the quarterback debate. It's like, well, you know, the guys won 10 games last year. Yeah, but it was him, who did it. And if he had somebody else in there that was better, would it be 12 wins? So I think in Iowa's case, they do need a playmaker. They need somebody who can hit big plays at big moments in critical situations from that position. You can't just always be a caretaker. And last year he threw, 10 touchdowns and 9 interceptions. You got to do better than that. And if he can, then great. But I think this is a situation that continues to linger probably in the mid-August.
Well, it's a situation. It's whoever is under center or at quarterback is going to be helped. I mean, Iowa, this is as good a receiving core as the Hawks have had in a while. Top two tight ends are back. A little bit green as far as the offensive backfield is concerned. But there are people, even though a lot of them were injured during the spring, there's no shortage of talent on the outside and at the tight end spot for whoever's the quarterback.
They've got some weapons. I think so. I think Sam LaPorta is going to be one of the 3 to 5 best tight ends in the country. After Brock Bowers from Georgia and Michael Mayer from Notre Dame, I think you can make the case that he's number three. And he's going to be a weapon for whoever throws the ball to him. And I think Luke Lachey, his upside is immense. And then you bring in, the third guy, from Lafayette. So you got a pretty good tight end core. Wide receiver's been injured a little bit, but I think in some ways by having four guys that are pretty solid, that may be helpful. Last year it just seemed like they tried to push really hard to get Tyrone Tracy going because they figured he would, and it never really happened. And then the younger guys, Keegan Johnson and Arlen Bruce, it took them time to get acclimated to this system to, playing varsity football at the University of Iowa. And eventually they came around and played pretty well, but I think they could be a lot more consistent. So, and I like the running backs. I really like the way they ran at the end of the year in that Citrus Bowl. I thought they really played well. So there's an opportunity there. I do think with the offensive line, there were four sophomores in the starting lineup the other day. I think it's going to be about that. Maybe there'll be a junior instead of one of the sophomores come fall. But I thought what I saw was a little bit better chemistry. And that's not anything on Leonard Baum. He was fantastic last year. But it's just more of a matter of the other guys just playing with a little bit more rhythm. And so I think that's going to be a plus for them. Probably my guess is there'll be some growing pains. It won't be all that consistent early on, but maybe by November they'll come around and be a pretty good unit. So I think you've got to be a little bit patient with them up front. But by and large, I think the offense has a chance to be pretty successful in what it wants to do.
Let's turn our attention to the NFL draft, which is Thursday night. It begins Thursday night anyway with the first round, and give you an opportunity, Scott, to weigh in our Hawkeye title and settlement poll question at KGYMradio.com. How many players from Iowa, Iowa State, and UNI will be taken Thursday night?
Thursday night. Wow, that's a great question.
Zero, one, two, or three?
I've got three. I think it could, and it could very well only be one. I think Trevor Penning is the one that is the automatic on Thursday night. He's pretty much universally accepted as the fourth best tackle prospect. So I'd expect him somewhere probably in the teens. Tyler Linderbaum, I think, will go because even though there's been a lot of rhetoric kind of against him in some ways the last couple of seemingly years, but really more the last couple of weeks about arm length and what have you. These pro prospects aren't stupid. They know what they got with him, and somebody will either trade down for a previous trade to grab him, say like the New York Giants or Baltimore Ravens, or I could see a team even like the Bears or the Browns trading up into the 20s to get him on Thursday night. And finally, Breece Hall. I mean, the running back position has been devalued, but I have the Chiefs picking him, and here's why. I think when you lose a guy like Tyreek Hill, it does alter your offense. It's just going to. And so in order to do that, you do want to take some pressure off, one of the great quarterbacks we've seen in a long time. And I think the best way to do that is to get the best running back in the backfield and run and take some pressure off the quarterback. Because I'm sure the Chiefs are going to grab one or two more receivers to try to make up for what Tyreek Hill had. So as they continue to grow in the offense, you still have that reliance upon, a very talented running back that I think kind of reminds me of Matt Forte. So I think I think all three go, but it wouldn't surprise me at all if it's only one. It would surprise me if there were zero, though.
UNAS woke up.
Yep, I woke up there. Bree saw with Edwards-Helaire and the rest of them. I can live with that if they can put a little pressure on the quarterback, but that's on the defensive side of the ball. But, yeah, Penning is certainly a great, great story out of UNI. The Linderbaum situation, though, like you mentioned, all the rhetoric, and this is not anything new. I mean, guys are put on pedestals, and then we see them constantly being, pulled apart for whatever reason the case may be. Center's also not the most glamorous position. We know that as far as the NFL is concerned, even though you need one and you just need a strong one. And, you know, there are people saying he might fall early into the second, but I'm like you. I think he's going to go late in the first round on Thursday night.
Yeah, I agree. I really think that what's going to happen is, you know, everybody needs something to talk about. And we're talking about the marriage of the two most popular sports in this country, which is pro football and college football. So it makes for an easy discussion, and people look at him and they find his negative plays, and then, oh my gosh, his arm length isn't what you want. Well, really at center, that's not a big deal. I mean, at left tackle, yeah, I could see that being an issue because of the amount of space between an edge rusher and a left tackle, but there's really no space between a center and a nose guard or somebody shading one side or the other, even the linebacker. So arm length is not going to matter. And so I think that's kind of a silly discussion point at this point. And then I also, everybody knows what they're going to get with him. They know that he's going to walk in day one, be a great, he's going to be a starter, potentially a Pro Bowler his first year. And he's going to hold everybody accountable to a standard and elevate the entire locker room. And you can't put a price on that. And so the smart teams know that. And that's why I could see, like, the Baltimore Ravens. Let's say the Packers decide to trade up to 14 and get a receiver because they need one to replace, Devontae Adams. And then the Ravens fall back to 22. That would be perfect. They need a center. They know what they get. Even the GM, when we were at the combine, said that he reminded him of a Marshall Yanda. Well, the best way to get him is to get somebody just like him. So I think that's the type of scenario I could see. Or if he gets to like 27, 28 and the Chicago Bears go, we'd really like to have a guy like that really change the culture of our offense, and you can put him in and plug him, and you've got an Olin Krutz or somebody like that for the next 10 to 12 years. So that's where I kind of see. I don't know that we'll see anybody that has a pick at number 28 right now, that they're automatically picking him at 28. I think there could be a lot of teams in flux.
One Hawkeye, Scott, I'm really interested in seeing what happens to, whether he's drafted high, low, or not at all, is Dane Belton. Very versatile, tough player. What say you?
Yeah, I think he will be. I think he'll probably be a fourth or fifth rounder. Great times at the combine. He's tied for the Big Ten lead in interceptions. Played multiple positions. I think that really matters. I mean, the cash position is a hybrid between, being a strong side outside linebacker and a nickel corner. Plus, when Iowa went to 4-3, he played strong safety. So he's done it all in Iowa. He's played in a very disciplined system that's been very good and has sent a lot of players to the NFL. And his 4.43 was the second fastest time ever recorded by an Iowa defensive back at the combine. Bob Sanders is the only one faster. So I think somebody's going to look at him in the fourth or fifth round and say, yeah, he's probably not completely defined right now, but, put him in, could play some sub packages, probably play special teams, and by year two or three, he probably will be a starter, and he's fast. So I could see that. I think he's definitely in. I would say he and Linderbaum are no doubters. And I would say Goodson and maybe Zach Van Valkenburg have a shot at going, the sixth, seventh round.
Goodson trying to help his stock today by coming on Good Morning Football. So hopefully hopefully that helped a little bit right there to get it, the name out there. Give him a follow at Scott Docterman on Twitter. And, of course, does great job with The Athletic, theathletic.com. Scott, always appreciate it. Have fun watching the draft, and we'll talk soon.
Okay, thanks for having me on. Appreciate it.
All right, Scott Docterman joining us here on the Gym Class on this Tuesday on KGYM. Going to get to a break, but before we do that, going to give you not one but two opportunities to win tickets, a pair of tickets to the National Czech and Slovak Museum and Library to see Gridiron Champs, George Halas and the Chicago Bears. That exhibit runs through November the 6th and all about Papa Bear George Halas. Not one, but two winners of pairs of tickets to see that exhibit. 319-366-1600. 319-366-1600. Callers 6 and 7 back to back. Then we'll get your information and you will be heading off to the National Czech and Slovak Museum and Library. Back to wrap things up after this.
Now at Menards, save big money on your next project with 11% off everything. Novik Stack Stone siding panels replicate the natural, hand-laid look of Stack Stone masonry at a fraction of the cost. And they're easy to install. Start your next project today and get 11% off. Novik Stack Stone siding panels. Good through April 30th. Savings are a mail-in rebate. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Save big money at Menards.
Tune into the gym every weekday at 5 o'clock with Todd Brommelkamp and Alex Kuhn for Drive Time, driven by Lender Tire.
The metal tour of the year. Megadeth, Lamb of God, with special guests Trivium and In Flames. This Wednesday night, Alliant Energy Powerhouse.
Four of metal's biggest artists share the stage for one epic night.
This is a buckle.
On sale now at LiveNation.com. Megadeth, Lamb of God, with special guests Trivium and In Flames.
All right, we've got our two winners to see the George Halas exhibit. We've got a pair of tickets the rest of the week for you right here on the Gym Class, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. One of those winners, Mark from Lisbon. I did see his name on the sheet of paper and the official sheet of paper out there. Thank you very much to Scott Docterman for joining us. Chris Liss of ChrisLiss.com to answer your fantasy baseball questions tomorrow. And might look ahead to what he thinks is going to happen as far as the draft is concerned. Don't ask him college football questions. He's not a college football guy. But once they get to the NFL,
by fall, he'll know.
He's the man. He's the man right there. But he'll have a few thoughts about who may go where. And if you have that chance tomorrow, give him a question.
On the baseball items to talk about as well, some of which we talked about today. But we'll get Chris's impressions about what's happened at the early stages of MLB. And then, as you said, a little bit of football as well, because there have been a lot of deals.
We're going to start to see trades maybe tomorrow?
Usually is.
Usually Wednesday afternoon you start to see. Debo Samuel's the guy. That's going to be the linchpin, I think, to everything. No pun intended, because John Lynch, of course, is the GM of the San Francisco 49ers. Mm-hmm. He is saying that they are not going to trade Debo Samuel. And there are a lot of suitors out there. And one of those being my Kansas City Chiefs. They've got a bushel basket of draft choices that they can offer. And I tell you what, Debo Samuel would be a wonderful replacement for Tyreek Hill. I'm smiling again, aren't I? That's twice.
Samuel, Breece Hall.
Well, you don't have Breece Hall yet, but that's a nice little dream right there to have. Don and Alex coming your way next right here on KGYM from 4 to 6. And then NBA playoff basketball resumes tonight. Game number 5 between Phoenix and New Orleans coming up tonight. 8:30 with the pregame and just past 9 o'clock with the tip-off for that one. And good show, and we will talk with you tomorrow at 3, Mark.
Sounds great. Talk then.
All right. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you tomorrow at 3 with another edition of the Gym Class right here on KGYM.